You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have two really, really important topics we're going to cover today. During the first hour, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Beata Ritz to talk about how some pesticides may actually be increasing the rate of Parkinson's disease in some specific people in the population. Very, very important discussion. As you know, I lost my sister to PD last year after a long 10-year struggle. So this is something near and dear to my heart. Then we're going to change it up. We're going to be joined by Dr. Nathaniel Watson to talk about how sleep duration is affecting depression. Another important discussion, especially since most of the country is in a wintertime funk. Okay, so let's get started. Dr. Beata Ritz, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You are the chairperson at the Department of Epidemiology in the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA, correct?
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
So recently your group has published a study looking at the effects of a specific pesticide, right? Not all pesticides, but one specific pesticide you looked at, correct?
No, it was actually a study where we looked at several types of pesticides.
Ah.
And my colleague, Dr. Bronstein, who is also the neurologist who sees our patients, the ones that we study in the field, he actually did a lab study in which he tested a range of different pesticides for one specific toxic action. And that action was in the on aldehyde dehydrogenase, which is an enzyme that converts a very toxic metabolite of dopamine into a much less toxic metabolite. And he was trying to figure out whether there are substances that we're using that are in the environment that could inhibit this detoxification pathway, because we know that this pathway in a dopamine cell, and dopamine is that agent that we are lacking when we develop Parkinson's, because the cells, there's one specific cell type in the brain that makes dopamine, they die. And these cells die in everyone slowly over lifetime. They're usually believed not to be replenished during our life. You're born with your dopamine neurons that make this dopamine. And over lifetime, some of them die in everybody, but in Parkinson's patients, that process is much faster, and you end up having all the symptoms of Parkinson's.
So, what class of pesticides seem to have the greatest effect on aldehyde dehydrogenase?
Actually, there were several types of pesticides, and they are not really related to each other.
Really?
Yeah, one large group is called dithiocarbamates, and in this group you find Manep and Xyram, both of which are fungicides.
Mm-hmm.
And they are quite widely used as fungicides in vineyards and on tree fruits.
So when we talk about pesticides, we're not talking about bug pests. We're talking about anything that pesters
no.
a crop. Okay. Okay.
Exactly. It's quite pesticides is actually anything that gets rid of something we consider a pest.
Right.
So fungus is a pest as well.
Right.
It's not just insecticides. It can also be a herbicide that gets rid of weeds.
Right.
So the ones that actually tested positive for inhibiting this enzyme are these dithiocarbamates that are mostly used as fungicides, but sometimes also for something else. And then some imidazoles, also used as fungicides, dicarboxamides, they are used in different ways, not just as fungicides, and an organochlorine insecticide as well. We We had identified several other pesticides in his lab, but couldn't test them in our human population because luckily in California there wasn't enough exposure among humans to really get a signal for what we are looking at.
Now, but a lot of these pesticides, are they still in use today in farming?
Yes, they are. Oh, Maneb and Xyram are quite wide. Actually, Xyram is quite widely used. Benomyl, interestingly, had a run-in with possible burst effects about 12 years ago, and EPA banned it from use. But Captane is still being used. Quite a few of those that we tested are still being used. Dieldrin, the organochlorine, has been taken off the market because it's a very persistent substance, and so it accumulates in the environment.
Right.
And so EPA took it out because of that. But quite a few of these agents are still being used.
Now, obviously, there are some people more susceptible than others, which was pointed out through the research, which implies an epigenetic effect here. So some people may be exposed to these. They have a much more robust tolerance for them. They don't develop Parkinson's disease, but others do, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct, and that's what makes our study special, because we were able to go from the lab where we just tested these cells with these different pesticides to human populations where you have a variety of abilities to detoxify, right? I mean, we all know that only 1 out of 10 heavy smokers develop lung cancer, and the big question is, why do 9 not develop lung cancer?
Right, right.
So clearly human beings are different, and not everybody exposed comes
don't
out.
Don't tell the pharmaceutical industry that.
Right.
Okay, but here's the $64 million question. Did you look at these populations by gender specificity? Because we know from research that was done up in Toronto probably 8 to 10 years ago that estradiol protected the dopaminergic cells in the substantia nigra in rats that were exposed to MPTP for up to 2 weeks before they developed full-blown Parkinson's disease. So do we see men being more susceptible to these pesticides than women as a result?
No, we actually didn't. And it's true. I remember these studies of estradiol, and that's why actually, and there are lots of other agents that's also tested protective against MPTP in animal models, that when you then go to humans, you don't see much for it.
Okay.
And
okay.
Nobody really knows why. Maybe the MPTP model is not the right one, because MPTP kills immediately. And we know that nobody who comes down with idiopathic
right.
Parkinson's develops it from today to tomorrow. It usually takes 10 years to slowly develop, so it's one cell at a time kind of dying. And that's a different way compared to what we do to animals who we dose with MPTP, or humans who actually have accidentally injected themselves with this synthetic heroin that had MPTP
right.
in it.
This was, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm 55 years old. In the 60s, it was all over the neighborhood that junkies, heroin addicts, were developing Parkinson's disease at an alarming rate, and no one knew what it was. And then they discovered that this cheap heroin was being cut with an industrial chemical, which turned out to be MPTP, and it was that social experiment that led to people using MPTP in the lab to create a Parkinson's model, because all these junkies were getting Parkinson's disease.
Right, and actually. And it is a different, I mean, it's Parkinsonism. We now call it Parkinsonism
right.
because the symptoms are exactly like what you see in Parkinson's disease that slowly develops. But it really develops kind of overnight, within a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
So, but the regular Parkinson's disease we know is a very slow process. And it's also a process that probably starts somewhere in the periphery and then kind of moves onward through the brainstem through the brainstem and all the nuclei of the brainstem and then even the cortex, because a lot of patients later also develop dementia. So we know that that's a chronic process that slowly moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in animal models, we haven't really been able to recreate that process all that well. There are some genetic models of Parkinson's where it works better than in others, but the MPTP model is really a hit-and-run type of model, so agents that are protective in that way may not be doing the same kind of long-term protection that you would expect in a Parkinson's patient.
Dr. Ritz, do we have any feel for the levels of exposure that lead to the development of Parkinson's in this specific group who is sensitive to it? Are these levels very, very high, where if someone is in agriculture and exposed to these chemicals regularly, they have to worry? Or could we consume these in conventionally produced foods over our lifetime?
Yes, that's definitely possible, because the group of people we studied were actually not occupationally exposed. They were residents in the Central Valley of California, where a lot of these pesticides are being used. And the exposures we looked at were actually estimated from what farmers reported to the state system as applications of specific chemicals to specific plots of land. And we have a computer model for these kind of exposures since 1974. So for everybody who was in our study, we were able to plot their residence and their workplace address on a map, and then calculate how much pesticide of a certain type, specific type, was sprayed within 500 meters, which is about 1,200 feet of their homes. And we averaged that over almost a 40-year period prior to onset of disease or not for the controls. And that's the kind of exposure assessment we use. So
wow.
It's definitely ambient, residential or workplace, near farming, near spraying. It's not actively using yourself.
Now, the other thing we have to watch out for, and this is one of the things I hate about some of the testing that is done on the FDA level. You know, they test one thing in isolation. They go, well, this is a tolerable amount. But we do know
yes.
that there are other things that assault the dopaminergic neurons in the substantia nigra. So it could be that you don't live in close proximity to someone who's using these pesticides, but through regular consumption, through conventionally grown produce, combined with other assaults that happen to be unique to your environment, these could play a role. I would imagine this information you've
yes.
discovered could play a role in the onset of the disease.
Yes, exactly. So for our population, it was specific because they are a farming rural environment, and we know that pesticide use is very heavy in the Central Valley. By estimates, the Central Valley of California uses a quarter of all pesticides used in the U.S. So this is a high agricultural intensive use and exposure. But of course, it is a long-term chronic exposure. It's through ambient residential exposures. And people who don't live in the Central Valley may have these chronic long-term exposures through other means. They could have it through picking it up from gardening and home and yard pesticides, or through food. And we actually have shown in one of our papers that the people who actually reported to us that they were using home pesticides and garden mm-hmm. use pesticides mm-hmm. also had a higher chance of developing Parkinson's. And that was a different mechanism. They actually used different kinds of pesticides. It went through a different pathway. Different enzymes were involved, and we could see the same kind of pattern. So, yes, it is certainly a puzzle where different pieces need to fit together to increase your risk.
Okay, let's do this. We need to take a break. We're talking with Dr. Beata Ritz. We're talking about how certain pesticides, when certain people in the population are exposed to them, may cause the onset or the progression of Parkinson's disease. It's a very, very important discussion, because there's a large faction of people out there that think those of us who want to eat organic are elitists, and that those of us who are afraid to be exposed to these types of things are elitists, and that these chemicals are completely safe. And every time we turn around, we find out this isn't true. We've done shows about other types of pesticides having epigenetic effects in downline the germline of women's eggs that could affect their great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren. You know, we're living in a world today that embraces chemistry, and it's coming back to haunt us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country, by forcing us eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while
trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. The pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of Agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Beata Ritz from UCLA about how some pesticides may increase the risk of Parkinson's disease in some genetically predisposed individuals. How do we know who those people are? We don't know. First of all, a question, and I don't know that your group has looked at this, but you may be aware that the USDA approved the use of trichloride phenoxyacetic acid, 2,4-D, which is one of the agents that was used in Agent Orange as a defoliating mechanism during the Vietnam War that we know led to a variety of unique cancers. They claim that the 2,4-D component is not threatening, but I can't help but see the word chloro in there, and you did talk about these chlorine type agents that your group had studied. Do we know anything about 2,4-D now that it's going to be introduced into conventional farming here very shortly?
No, we don't know yet. So unfortunately, I think it actually has been used in farming already to some extent. Maybe it was not done in the last 10 years, but I've seen some exposure data out there, but we haven't looked at it yet.
It's scary because Monsanto is going to produce a genetically modified variant of their corn and soybean that instead of being resistant to Roundup, it'll be resistant to 2,4-D, which means they'll be able to drench these crops with 2,4-D. And then people who buy conventionally grown produce will, and, you know, and this idea that you can wash this stuff off is ridiculous because it gets absorbed through the root system into the flesh of the vegetables and the fruits. So you're eating it. And we still don't know what that's going to do to people. I have a feeling that in a couple of years, your group is going to be discovering some disturbing information about that one there.
Yes, the problem is that we're always behind the industry with our science.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we see the health effects in the long term. We don't. These are all long-term health effects. Parkinson's disease, cancers, developmental disorders, they're all long-term effects. So we need to have this chemical introduced for several years before we even can start studying health effects, which is scary.
And there may, okay, so we're talking about Parkinson's disease, but correct me if I'm wrong, aldehyde dehydrogenase has an effect on mitochondria in general, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So and even though people aren't developing Parkinson's disease, if we have something going awry with somebody that could be traced back to mitochondrial dysfunction, and even cancer in this case, because we understand now that cancer may actually be a metabolic disorder in that the mitochondria shifts to anaerobic glycolysis before it becomes a cancer cell. So something that acts on the mitochondria can't be good for the human condition in general, right?
That's correct, yes. So, yes, and a lot of these pesticides, the ones we identified were specifically inhibiting this one pathway that is important for Parkinson's. But a lot of chemicals actually are more dirty actors, meaning they actually impact several different pathways in cells. And then it always depends on what kind of cell we are talking about and what kind of cell is susceptible to what. So these mixtures of chemicals can be very harmful to one type of cell but not another. That's why we see one disease and not the other.
Right, right. What do you hope that, I mean, this is a, in my humble opinion, this is a bombshell. You know, there's a guy who I'm on his mailing list just because I like to see the propaganda, and he's pro pesticide. He's from Canada. And he's always talking about how pesticides are completely safe and that the rest of us out there are just crazy lunatics, trying to rid the planet of pesticides, that they're perfectly safe. And then we have research like this that comes out that is rigorously produced through science and undeniable. And I mean, this is a quiet explosion here. Why don't we hear about this, or do we hear about this in the media? Have you been interviewed by any mainstream radio or television stations yet?
Yes, I have been interviewed. I don't know how mainstream, but yes, it is slowly coming out. The problem with epidemiologic results usually is that we do our work quietly over decades, mm-hmm. and then we finally produce our results, and it's often about chemicals that are not all that interesting anymore because we already shifted to the next agent
right.
for whom we don't know how toxic they are. But it's also that people are not just dropping like flies in bunches around us. It is, you know, one Parkinson's patient here and another, one in Fresno, one in Bakersfield, and, you know, one this year, one next year. So it's very tedious work to figure all this out. And it takes a while, and people have their day-to-day stories to deal with, and this doesn't come to the forefront, but it certainly should be considered when we think about regulations. So when, you know, politicians cut back on EPA funding to investigate these pesticides, that's really the issue, because EPA would rely on studies like ours to produce these kind of results, and then think about pesticide regulations, because pesticides are regulated.
Yeah, but you know what? You're a very, very kind-hearted person, I can tell, because the system is corrupt. The only time that they eliminate something is when, you know, the agencies that provide oversight have communication channels to the industries that they provide oversight to. And they let them know, hey, you know what? We're getting a lot of backflack about this. They say, well, give us 2 years. We'll find a substitute. And then 2 years later, the FDA comes out or the USDA comes out like a shining model and says, we are eliminating this. Well, the only reason why they're taking that hard stand is because their clients, the companies that they provide oversight to, have said, hey, we're ready to abandon that. We found a new poison to use. And so that's what nobody puts their foot down and says, look,
We serve the people first. We have to protect the people first. And when these companies go, but we can't grow stuff without this, then find another way to do it. That's not our problem. That's your problem.
Yes, the problem really is that we're introducing certain agents into the environment knowingly that they kill organic life forms, right?
Yeah, and we're an organic and we're an organic life form.
Yeah. Exactly. And and that's what we often forget. We think, "Oh, well, you know, it's these other types of life forms, the fungi or the insects." But guess what? They have a very similar nervous system to ours.
Let's not forget that a lot of research is first done on yeast and then C. elegans, which is a worm, and plays out very, very strongly in mouse, rat, and then human model. So chances are, if it's killing fungus, it may hurt us too.
Yes, exactly. And there's actually some regulation or better laws in Europe where they're called the REACH laws, where now industry has actually the onus of showing that a chemical is not harmful before it can be introduced. And that's probably more the kind of legislation you want rather than us running behind always trying to prove that something is actually toxic.
I got to tell you, the more I know about Germany, I like it. I have a contributor to the show who lives in Munster, Germany, and I think the German government really gets it about protecting the people. I have to be honest with you.
Yes, there was it's a long-term movement, the environmental movement there.
Yeah, I agree.
And, yeah, they're being heard.
Well, I want to throw one other thing in here. There's a lot of diseases that are occurring today that can be traced back to mitochondrial dysfunction. A coronary heart disease that leads to heart failure. We know that some of these rhythm issues that are occurring today, nervous system disorders that are peripheral in nature, neuropathies and so on, that seem innocuous and easy to blame on things like high blood sugar levels may have nothing to do with them. We can't ignore toxicants in the environment that are attacking the mitochondria, because the mitochondria affects every system in the body, every system, because every cell has a mitochondria.
Yes. Right, and I mean they produce the power for the cell, right? And it's the same. I mean, the electricity goes out when the power station goes out.
Right.
It's the same for the cell. It dies when there are no more functioning mitochondria. It's just that certain cell types are a little more vulnerable to dysfunction than others. But yes, definitely, it's not a good idea to harm your mitochondria.
Yeah. So look, I think this is great research that your group is doing. California is always on the leading edge of protecting people. I have to say that about the state. They're very liberal. I don't like that about them. And the state is broke. And I don't like that about it because I wanted to move to California a few years ago. But one thing about California, they put people first. You cannot deny that. And I applaud your group for doing this kind of research, and I can't wait to see what you do next. I have to tell you the truth.
And let me just add, California also supports these types of data collection. I could not have done any of this work if California wouldn't support the pesticide use reporting system, which is expensive and is a law, is required by law. So really we have to hand it to our administrators that they maintain these kind of systems that allow us to at least do the work that we are now doing.
Dr. Ritz, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Nathaniel Watson, and we're going to talk about how sleep duration affects depression. We'll be right back.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. He's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas? It's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things and I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your power block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert power block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, just yesterday we were talking about on this show that so many people find themselves in a funk right now at this time of year. The sun never comes out in the morning. The snow is on the ground. It's hard to become motivated. Really, that could be considered a form of depression. A lot of us think of depression as just being a way you feel. Depression affects your physiology as well. You don't have the energy output. You don't move as fast. You don't want to move. But how does sleep duration actually affect depressive symptoms? And that's the discussion we're going to have right now with Dr. Nathaniel Watson. How are you doing, Dr. Watson?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Dr. Watson is with the Department of Neurology at the University of Washington in Seattle. And your group did a study. So let's talk about the design of the study first. I find these studies interesting when you guys use twins, because that really takes a lot of the potential gray areas out of the question, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, using twins in research really allows you to explore biostatistical avenues that wouldn't really be at your disposal otherwise. So really, in its most basic application, when we're using twins in research, we're taking a phenotype, let's say depression, and you compare how similar identical or monozygotic twins are in relation to that, and then you compare how similar non-identical or dizygotic twins are in relation to that, and then you compare those similarities. And so if the identical twins are more similar than the non-identical twins, it suggests that there's a genetic component to, that's, you know, again, in this instance, depression. So what that's called is the heritability of depression. So you might say, okay, well, we did that, and, you know, a certain percentage of depression is due to genetic factors. Now, generally speaking, that type of classical twin study doesn't establish exactly which genes are involved. It just tells you that there is a genetic element.
Well, okay, so you're saying when both twins suffer from depression, then there is a genetic predisposition. But if you have one twin that doesn't, then you have to look at the epigenetic model here and say, well, what is this twin doing differently lifestyle-wise that is causing them not to have these symptoms, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, whenever you look at a phenotype like, say, depression in twins, you're going to break it down into three components. One is the genetic component. The other is the shared environmental component. And then you have the non-shared environmental component. And the non-shared environmental aspect is what makes the twins different from one another, particularly identical twins. So, yeah, you really, you know, and when you're using identical twins, of course, then the two twins are really perfect controls for one another because they're nearly genetically identical.
Right.
They have a shared common environment, which would include in utero exposures and early life environment. So it's really, you're getting at just looking at the aspects of, that are different in their environment and what impact that has.
Very cool stuff. Okay, so tell me about the what was the gender division in this group, and was there a difference in the way women responded or were affected in this research than men?
Well, we, you know, our twin registry here at the University of Washington is predominantly female, so. You know, we had, if we just break it down, the identical or monozygotic male pairs were 21%, the identical monozygotic female pairs were 46%, and then if we look at the dizygotic, the 9% were males and 23% were females.
Wow.
So ultimately, you know, about two-thirds of our group were females. Now, we didn't break it down, we didn't look at the gender. We controlled for gender in this study, so
okay.
Assessing a gender effect wasn't the goal of the study.
Okay, okay. So what did you discover? When you looked at these individuals, what did you discover?
Well, you know, one thing was that when we look at the twins, the twin who reported longer sleep duration reported fewer depressive symptoms, okay? So, and I guess take a step back, what we were looking at, this was questionnaire-based data, so we quite simply asked the twins how long they sleep per night, and then we asked them a brief depression questionnaire.
What kind of questions are asked to assess depression? Just curious.
You know, it's questions such as, you know, feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, depressed mood, those types of things.
Right.
We weren't diagnosing depression. We were just assessing depression symptoms.
Yes, yes.
To diagnose depression, of course, we'd have to do a very detailed exam and interview. And, you know, we did our study in almost 1,800 twins. So, you know, there's always a tension between the number of subjects in a study and how detailed your measures are. And in our study, we had a lot of subjects and we had, you know, simple measures.
Yeah, yeah, because let's face it, all of us have periods of feeling depressed, and sometimes, rightfully so, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job. Did you control for those types of lifestyle incidents and their effects on this, or maybe not? Maybe it's if you get a good night's sleep, you don't feel as bad about losing your job.
Well, you know, that's you're right. I mean, you know, having a depressed mood from time to time is just a part of normal human life. And you know, it's not anything to be concerned about, you know, when you have a major life event that is problematic. You know, we didn't assess whether or not these symptoms were occurring in the context of a major life event or not. So really, it should be taken at face value. It's really a single moment in time. Whether the individual had, you know, little interest or pleasure in doing things, felt down, depressed, or hopeless, those types of things at just kind of like frozen in time at that one moment.
So let's look at the duration of time. I'm being told we have to take a break. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Speaking of the duration of time, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Dr. Nathaniel Watson. We're talking about sleep duration and how it may affect the symptoms of depression, especially in this current state of continuous winter here in much of the country. This is probably a really good discussion to have. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
Special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking about sleep duration and depressive symptoms with Dr. Nathaniel Watson. So, Dr. Watson, let's discuss this. So, what was the duration of time observed in the different groups, and what was the effect on depressive symptoms?
So, the average sleep duration of the group of twins, all, total group of twins, was a little over 7 hours. Now, importantly, in our study, we define normal amount of sleep as between 7 and 9 hours a night. What we did was, using these what are called behavioral genetic interaction models with our twin study, was allowed depressive symptoms heritability to vary according to how long the twin was sleeping. And the bottom line was that we found that as the twins went away from that normal range, that 7 to 9 hours a night, as they slept shorter than that and longer than that, the heritability of depressive symptoms went up. So in other words, the genetic risk of having depressive symptoms increased as sleep duration went towards the extremes away from normal.
So even if they, this is like an area under the curve type of a thing. So in other words, if they slept too little, they slept too much, they tend to have a higher degree of depressive symptoms.
Yeah, you know, what we saw in general, you know, the twin that slept more had fewer depressive symptoms. So that's one separate, you know, conclusion. But then if you just look at the way that the genetic risk of depressive symptoms, so, you know, that heritability, the amount of their depressive symptoms that was related to genes, that goes up as you go away, or as the twins went away from what we consider to be, generally speaking, a normal sleep duration.
The sweet spot, yeah.
And really, you know, when you think about, you know, how I get asked all the time, I mean, how much sleep do I need? And, you know, that's quite individualized. Most of the epidemiologic studies that look at the relationship between sleep duration and, let's say, hypertension and cardiovascular disease and mortality and obesity, they define normal, you know, between 7 and 8 or 7 and 9 hours a night. So I think in general, you know, that's a sweet spot for the amount of sleep that a person needs. Now, when an individual approaches me at a cocktail party and asks me that, I always tell them, hey, you know, next time you're on a vacation, go to bed when you're tired, wake up spontaneously when you feel rested, you know, do that for a couple of weeks, and then whatever amount of sleep duration you're getting on that last night, that's probably the amount of sleep that you need to maintain normal alertness and physiology throughout the day.
You know, industrialization has changed the way we sleep and had a profound effect on what we consider sleep duration in general. And if you look at some of the anthropological information out there about sleep in the 1400s, 1500s, and 1600s, we know that sleep was sometimes biphasic in that because we didn't have electricity, and we depended on light being emitted from fire sources, which was very dim. Quite often we got into bed, fell asleep for 5 or 6 hours, woke up, and if you had a mate, would talk to your mate for maybe an hour or two, then go back to sleep again, and then wake up when the sun woke you up by illuminating the room. And we even know that doctors used to tell their patients who were having difficult conceiving, specifically to make love after the first sleep, quote unquote, meaning that when they woke up in the middle of the night, that's when they should have sex because there was a higher probability of conceiving at that time. So we know that the way we sleep today and the way we have slept, you know, unaffected by any type of influence is very, very different.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting point. You know, at last year's Associated Professional Sleep Society's meeting in Baltimore, there was a session on just that, biphasic sleep. And you're right. I mean, there is a reference, you know, throughout history, you know, before the invention of the light bulb, that people would describe this type of biphasic sleep pattern, just like what you mentioned. And it make you wonder that people that claim to have what we call sleep maintenance insomnia. In other words, they're able to fall asleep just fine, but they wake up in the middle of the night and they have some trouble falling back asleep. You know, maybe that's not abnormal. You know, maybe that's kind of hearkening back to sleep patterns during a simpler time.
The only thing that I would submit is this. There's another that we have other influences that are taking place. You have people with real blood sugar management issues that predispose people to late night awakenings because they become hypoglycemic and they wake up heart pounding, sweating. They think it's 6 a.m. in the morning and it's really 2 a.m. in the morning but what I do agree with is, because we've become animals on a schedule, it's like, oh, I've got to get back to sleep now because I got to get up at 6 a.m. Where back in the day, you went to sleep when it went dark out. You probably had 12 to 15 hours of darkness throughout portions of the year. So it wasn't like you thought to yourself, oh, I've got to get right back to sleep because I got to get up at 6 a.m. and take the kids to school. No, you woke up when the sun came up. So I agree with you that maybe there are people out there who are waking up that could justify waking up and going back to sleep by our programming of the biphasic sleep cycle. But with the introduction of blood sugar issues and other things that are just starting to come to the forefront, like neuronal excitability from things like routers. I mean, this is undeniable. I mean, I'm not wearing an aluminum hat here. Okay. This is, we know that if you use a cell phone for a 10 minute call, a half hour before going to sleep, your ability to get into the deepest stages of sleep are extended by 3 hours. You take 3 hours before you start dipping into those, because the neuronal excitability from those phones does something to you. So we have an environmental thing that's going on here as well. But I do agree with you with this. I've experimented with biphasic sleep. You can't force it. So if you go back to sleep in the morning and sleep in, there's a sweet spot of waking back up, and if you miss the sunrise to do that, it doesn't work. If the sun is up and you go back to sleep, and you sleep for an hour and a half, I find I wake up and I feel groggier, and I think to myself, gee, why didn't I get out of bed when I had the chance? But if I go to sleep really, really early, like when the sun is going down, like 8 o'clock, I get in bed and I read and I fall asleep, and then I sleep maybe 9 or 10 hours, but I wake up when the sun comes up in the morning, I feel refreshed. So we can't force the whole biphasic thing is what I'm saying.
No. Look, you know, it takes the Earth, you know, 24 hours to rotate one complete rotation. The human circadian rhythm takes a little over 24 hours to go through a cycle. Okay, that's not a coincidence. That's a fact, and that's, you know, obviously due to us evolving in this environment. Now, that's occurring in the context of our current culture, which is really, let's be honest, I mean, it's a toxic environment for sleep out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many competing interests for people's time. There's a zeitgeist out there that sleep doesn't matter, that it's not important.
Yeah.
You know, I'll
yeah.
sleep when I'm dead, you know, that kind of thing. And what we know is that we have an epidemic of sleep deprivation in this society. And we know that it has untoward effects on almost every aspect of human functioning that you could possibly think of. Mortality, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, mood and affective disorders, concentration, cognition. So, you know, I think that really we all have to think about the trade-offs that we're making. And, you know, of course, there's what I like to call the caffeine industrial complex out there that is you know, making money off of this by masking some of the effects of sleep deprivation. But make no mistake about it, all the caffeine in the world is not going to you know, get your metabolism back to normal, or it's not going to fix the problems with your inflammatory system or many of the other effects of sleep deprivation. So I really want to get people to think about this, and I want them to reprioritize sleep in their lives.
Oh, this has been a mantra of mine for 9 years, and this is, you know, I get emails from people, and there's a fellow who listens to the show that just launched his new business, and he's like, hey, I can't sleep, and I said, look, man, you need to get to sleep. You'll make better decisions. This idea that, you know, everybody saw that movie Wall Street with, you know, Michael Douglas walking on the beach trading with Japan in the middle of the night. It's like, this is nonsense. We're not designed to do this. You're going to develop dementia and all sorts of diseases way, way early. And all the money that you've made is going to be used to keep you in diapers.
Well, you know, we become bad decision machines when we're sleep deprived.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact. And, you know, you just wonder, you know, how much more effectively systems would function if sleep were prioritized. I mean, you wonder how much better the government would run if sleep were prioritized. But, you know, I just try to get people to focus on the quality of their wakefulness experience rather than the quantity. And I encourage people just, you know what, do a little experiment on yourself. Take 3 weeks or a month and make sleep the priority, okay? Turn off the TV.
Right.
Go to bed. Go to bed early. Go to bed when it gets dark out. Sleep until you're rested. Do that for a while and then start assessing how you feel during the day. And you might find that actually spending a little more time in bed is paying such nice dividends that you're happy to do it.
We have to go into a break, and I've got lots more questions about the research. But before we go into the break, I want to mention something. For those of you who aren't aware of this, it's worth saying. So you know that UPS dropped a plane out of the sky not too long ago. And it's been the subject of a lot of discussion because those who fly packages are subjected to longer work schedules than those who fly people because the notion is, well, losing packages doesn't hurt anybody. So in other words, the pilots are really not worth a lot. The last thing recorded on the black box in the cockpit of that UPS plane before they hit the ground was how sleepy these two guys were, so tired. And one guy was complaining how he had just flown a leg here and then flown there. And the one guy said, man, I am so tired. And 15 minutes later, they were a dash in the earth. So if you think that you're making good decisions because you're burning the candle at both ends, you're proud of yourself, how industrious you are, I'm sorry to say this, and some of you are going to be mad at me, but you're a fool. And you're probably a fool because you're not getting any sleep. So, you know, when the device that you're using to assess your behavior, which is your brain, is the thing that's not working, then you cannot assess your behavior. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Hey, you can win $500 worth of free product from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to find out how. We're talking with Dr. Nathaniel Watson. For those of you out there who work with clients, personal trainers, life coaches, or so on, Dr. Watson has a fantastic book called The Clinician's Guide to Sleep Disorders, Neurological Diseases and Therapies on Amazon.com. You know, if you're working with people and you're not paying attention to their sleep, you are not going to see them get the results that they want. I don't care what it is. If you're a life coach, if you're a personal trainer, if you're working with people who are trying to lose body fat, they're not losing body fat if they're not sleeping, okay? Great book. Go to Amazon.com, A Clinician's Guide to Sleep Disorders. So, Dr. Watson, did you see any indicators that as these twins moved up the scale of aging that they had poorer sleep?
You know, this wasn't a longitudinal study, so we didn't assess the impact.
Well, what about the older twins, in other words? That's, I guess.
Well, sleep duration tends to reduce a bit, or sleep, as we get older. That may have implications for this study. But ultimately, I think that the biggest implication is that, if you consider that the genetic contribution to depressive symptoms is something that is not in your control. It's not something that you can change, generally speaking. And that environmental contribution is something that you can change. Well, our research suggests that the environmental contribution is biggest when sleeping a normal amount of time. So we didn't test this in our research, and I think, we might in the future, somebody should, to assess, the efficacy of depressive treatments in patients that, are regulating their sleep duration in a normal amount of time. So our research suggests that these treatments would be most effective if you're sleeping, between 7 and 9 hours a night.
Well, and the reality is I have a funny feeling that I had a sleep problem in 2005. And I really became an insomniac for about 3 or 4 months. I got very, very sick. This was a side effect of something else. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night. I would fall asleep for about an hour, and I would wake up hypoglycemic, heart pounding, because I had a glucometer. I started checking my blood sugar immediately upon awakening. And then I couldn't get back to sleep for the rest of the night. I would be on the internet looking for these symptoms, and I'd always end up at a woman's menopause website, by the way. Poor women, when they go through menopause, they suffer these kind of symptoms. But I'll tell you something. You can't help but be depressed and anxiety-ridden when you don't sleep. And you know what? If you don't do it long enough, or if you don't sleep for a long enough time, you'll die.
Yes, that's true. I mean, there's epidemiologic data, showing that short sleep is associated with increased mortality. I mean, I don't know what more beyond that people would need to hear in order to convince them of the importance of this. There was a very interesting study, a classic study in sleep, done now it'd be about 25 years ago. It was basically these researchers took a rat. They took two rats. They put them in a vat of water, and they were on a platform, and there was a divider between the two. One of the rats, they were measuring his sleep-wake patterns. The other one, they weren't. Every time that rat fell asleep, the platform rotated and knocked the rat into the water, okay? This was a complete sleep deprivation paradigm for the rat who was yoked to the, whose sleep was yoked to the rotating platform. That rat died after about 20 days. Despite increased food intake, he was losing weight. His hormones got completely out of balance. His hair was falling out. He was getting disheveled. So, you know, clearly, at least from that study in rats, sleep is necessary for life.
So in this group, did you have an occurrence where when you questioned one of the twins and their sleep pattern was disrupted, that they presented the symptoms of depressive disorder, but once they got their sleep back in line, that they felt better? Do you actually see that evidence in a single individual?
You know, we didn't test that, but that has been looked at. And,
okay.
You know, treating sleep disorders, sleep illness, and sleep problems in patients with depression can have a positive impact on their depression. So, you know, sleep and depression are tightly linked, particularly insomnia. So, you know, insomnia or sleeping too much are both, you know, part of the diagnostic criteria for depression. You know, if you have insomnia, you have about 5 to 10 times the risk of somebody without insomnia of developing depression. So, that, you know, there is a tight link there. Now, we're not talking about insomnia. We're talking about sleep duration. Now, you know, some insomniacs have a short sleep duration as well, but they may be different than somebody who's sleep deprived. You know, insomniacs are really people that can't sleep. People that are sleep deprived are people that won't sleep. You know, I think one other important point to make in regards to our study is that, you know, in the past, people have used sleep deprivation as a treatment for depression. And they have seen, you know, some positive effects, but unfortunately, they're usually short-lived. The minute the patient recovers their sleep, the effect is gone. And because we know sleep deprivation is associated with so many untoward health outcomes, you know, like I mentioned before, obesity,
right,
glucose regulation, cardiovascular disease, and so on, it's really not, we don't feel like it's a very good treatment strategy for depression. I don't think it's something that many people
Doing. Well, let's also remember that, let's go back to draconian measures and remember that sleep deprivation was used as a form of torture. So, you know,
it still is.
Yeah. So there you go. So what about supplementation? Any of these individuals, when they filled out their questionnaire, say, hey, well, I take melatonin at night. And was there any evidence that they slept better than their twin counterparts?
You know, we didn't assess, medications, but, you know, melatonin is, as you know, you bring it up, it's a naturally occurring substance secreted by the pineal gland that comes out when it gets dark out. And, you know, so it's clearly an important link, physiologic link to our inherent internal circadian rhythm. And, you know, I think that's an opportunity to discuss the impact that exogenous light has on our sleep, our health, and our circadian rhythm. Blue wavelengths of light are the worst wavelengths as far as disrupting your circadian rhythm.
Right.
So, Justin, people should be aware of that. And it's interesting when you look at all your appliances and in your car and everywhere. It's like blue light is the color of the time right now.
Well, not only that, but your iPad. I mean, there's people who love to read their iPads at night, right? Or their Kindle. Well, that white light is predominantly blue, and this is why one of the biohacks we've talked about on the show for the past couple of years now is a cheap pair of blue blockers. You wear if you insist on staying up late and watching TV, put the blue blockers on around dusk, and wear them for the rest of the evening so you don't impede melatonin production.
That's a great suggestion. I mean, we have patients with that are shift workers that have to sleep on schedules outside of their natural circadian rhythm. We encourage them to wear blue-blocking sunglasses when they leave work between, you know, leaving work and getting home and getting into the bed. I mean, I would suggest that, you know, you take this technology out of your bedroom
Absolutely.
Completely. You know, because it's interesting. When you think about technology and sleep, I mean, you know, so what is it? Is it good or bad? And, you know, like a lot of things, I mean, some aspects of it are good, some are bad. I mean, clearly the technology, you know, has allowed us to measure sleep better, to treat sleep disorders, to understand sleep better. And some of the newer technologies, applications that can help people understand their sleep better or get people thinking about sleep quality, which is a good thing. But in general, having technology in the bedroom, be it your iPad, your phone,
your television,
TV, yeah. Right, all of those things, you know, that's not good for your sleep because the effects that it'll have on your circadian health. And it won't allow the natural wind down that has to happen
right.
In order to facilitate a natural entry into sleep.
Well, and I'll throw one other thing at you. And this was first elucidated to me by a study that was done but never reproduced by the Madonna del Grazie Institute on Menopause in Italy. They took women who were amenorrheic and they put them on 3 milligrams of melatonin, and about 80% of the women became cyclical again. They regained their periods, right? So one of the reasons I think it hasn't been reproduced is I had the luxury of speaking to one of the authors who was very difficult to understand. He was Italian, and why he didn't want to do the show back in 2006. Well, and this is something that I've talked about on my show over time. And in fact, it's even played out in helping a guy recently who emailed me back after giving him a suggestion. People use melatonin as a hypnotic. That's the mistake they make. If you want melatonin to really work, don't take it right before bed or a half hour before bed unless you're crossing, you know, different time zones and trying to stimulate sleep. But if you're at home where you've been sleeping for the past couple weeks and you take melatonin, take it at sundown. When you start to see it getting dark out, take the melatonin then. The timing of the pulse of melatonin is as important, if not more important, than the pulse itself. What I learned from the Madonna del Grazie Institute's research was they told the women to take the melatonin at sundown. No one has paid attention to that. When they tried to reproduce the study, they were letting these women take the melatonin right before bed, and they didn't regain their periods.
You know what? You're right. Timing is everything. And there's something called dim light melatonin onset, which is a natural process in the human body. And you're right. I mean, when you take melatonin does matter. If let's say you want to take a nap or something in the middle of the day and you try to take melatonin as a hypnotic, then you're not going to have much success with that. I think, you know, one important point to make is that, you know, melatonin's never been FDA approved for anything. So when you buy it over the counter, you don't know how much actual melatonin is in any preparation. It's never really been established how much somebody should take for any given issue. So I think that, you know, it's just worthy of your audience understanding those potential limitations about melatonin. But I think, you know, this melatonin discussion is really an opportunity to talk about rhythmicity of life. And I think, you know, from a sleep perspective, living a rhythmic life is very important, particularly
yes.
People that might suffer from insomnia. The body craves the needing to know what's going to come next. Things need to be predictable. That's why a part of good sleep hygiene is a regular bedtime and a regular wake time and having a regular bedtime routine that's pretty much the same. It's also important that exercise happens about the same time, that meals are happening about
yes.
The same time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have patients that come to me with insomnia complaints and they have a chaotic lifestyle. You know, they eat whenever and their sleep is never consistent and all of those things. And so, you know, sleep is something that people shouldn't try to do. It's something that they should let happen. It's a natural process. But the body has to have these cues to entrain their circadian rhythm. These are called Zeitgebers, which is a German term for time giver. And light, you know, light exposure is the greatest entrainer of human circadian rhythm out there. And you don't need a light box. The amount of light, wherever it is that you're living, is enough. But on top of that, these other aspects of living a rhythmic life, I mean, if you're out there, if you're suffering from sleep disorders, if you're suffering from insomnia, I would encourage you to spend some time to try to get your life into a rhythmic pattern.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They call it the locomotive period for a reason, the daytime when you're up and around. you should be doing the majority of your movement and your eating at that time, and eating late at night tells the body that, hey, maybe the day is not over yet, and maybe this pulse of melatonin is inappropriate. The adrenals kick back in for a second shift. You're absolutely right. And also, the body loves predictability because it knows that it's in a safe environment when it eats at the same times every day and it sleeps at the same times and it wakes at the same times. It knows that the environment is not a threat. And we know what those effects are when the body thinks the environment is a threat. This is when we, you know, during periods of famine, you know, libido drops, procreation drops. There's a reason for that because the body says, oh, I'm in a bad environment. We don't want to do anything right now. We have to be careful. So you're right. Rhythmicity is really, really critical. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Nathaniel Watson. By the way, great book. Those of you who are working with people, whether you're a personal trainer, life coach or whatever, go to Amazon.com. Check out A Clinician's Guide to Sleep Disorders. I think that it will help you help your clients. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, Dr. Watson, I was at the Ancestral Health Symposium in Atlanta end of last year, and there was a great lecture on chronic inflammation and depression. And at least in some individuals, not all, but some individuals, and again, a lot of these are epigenetic effects, even like what we're seeing here with sleep that you're discussing, and you know, in the environment plays a role and so on. In some individuals, when they have chronic inflammatory diseases, they develop depression. And in simplest terms, people need to understand that depression is the body's way of trying to protect itself, to get you to lay down and sit still, because the body feels that a conservation of energy is required in order for systems in the body to do things, to repair things. And so, If you are one of these people who's having trouble sleeping and you are developing symptoms of depression, while you have to look at getting your sleep in line, you may have to look at what the underlying cause of your problems with sleep are as well. What would you say to a statement like that?
Well, I would say that, clearly there's a tight link between sleep and depression, as we've discussed. And, you know, there's interesting research out there that's really, you know, proves that sleep, that short sleep can impair immunity. You know, just touching on what you're saying in regards to inflammation and depression.
Right.
People that get immunizations, if they're sleep deprived, they have a less robust immune response than somebody who's sleep saturated. So, in other words, the effect of creating the immunity is less robust in the sleep deprived state. So that's, to me, was some of the most, you know, convincing evidence that short sleep really just suppresses the immune system in general. And I think, again, clearly a strong immune system is crucial to health in so many realms, depression notwithstanding, and it's something that we need to be paying close attention to.
So what do you hope clinicians take away from your research?
Well, you know, right now, sleep illness is massively underdiagnosed, in particular sleep apnea. Right now, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine estimates about 70 million individuals in this country are suffering from sleep illness. Probably around 80 to 90% of people with sleep apnea have not been evaluated, diagnosed, or treated for it. So if there are primary care physicians out there, I would encourage them to ask their patients about their sleep. And really, it's a high-value question for them, because improving sleep can improve so many other aspects of their patient's health. Lengthening sleep and treating sleep apnea can improve their hypertension. It can improve their glucose control. It would improve quality of life. And so it really is an opportunity for them to, you know, improve the health of their patients in general. I think for the general audience, I really just want them to, prioritize their sleep for a while and see how that goes. And if they feel like they're suffering from a sleep illness, I would encourage them to seek out a board-certified sleep medicine physician. They can find a list of accredited labs on the American Academy of Sleep Medicine website. There's also a website called sleepeducation.org, which can provide a lot of great information about sleep illness and sleep disorders. And then lastly, if people are interested in sleep, they can follow me on Twitter. I'm at N.F. Watson.
N.F. Watson. You know, it's funny. We just did a show on Monday with Dr. Tatiana Kanzerska, where we talked about, they created a risk analysis model where they can predict the probability of cardiovascular events based on the sleep apnea score that they came up with for individuals. And, this is something, okay, so last year I started to notice that I was snoring louder and louder. And then I recorded myself with my digital recorder one night and heard that I was taking, there were three different times during the night where I had episodes where I stopped breathing one time for as much as 30 seconds. And so I started to pay attention to this. I put a poll up on the website for about 2 weeks and asking people, do you snore? And 98.9% or 99% of the guys said yes. A small percentage said no. And because I'm coming to the conclusion that if you snore, even moderate snoring, okay, this to the body is an obstruction of free access to air, which triggers stress hormones and does a lot of bad things. And you're doing it for 8 hours at a time at night while you're supposed to be resting. Your body's really not resting. And I suspect, as you just pointed out, that we have a silent epidemic. And the only reason why it's silent is because people are asleep, so they're not bearing witness to it. And I implored my audience to record themselves sleeping. Get a video camera. Look at, see how restless you are. See if you're really tossing. Are you really, you know, just because you close your eyes for 8 hours doesn't mean that you're really sleeping. You're not getting restful sleep. And I have been thinking about this a lot. It is an epidemic in this country. It's predominantly men. I believe there's a testosterone linkage. I believe that there's a toxicant linkage. And I'm telling you that I believe that there's a vagus nerve linkage. I don't think that the relationship between obstructive sleep apnea and the changes in rhythmicity of the heart are related cause and effect. I think they're both a byproduct of a vagus nerve that's gone wrong, that the tone to the portion of the muscle up by the soft palate drops out, so the palate just drops in. The jaw drops like an elderly person. The heart rhythm changes, and so on and so forth. And I really am waiting for someone, instead of, you know, I understand you got to take rescue approaches with a CPAP, but the reality is we need to find out what the hell's going on with men in this country, that they're all developing obstructive sleep apnea and atrial fib.
Yes, you know, we could do a whole hour on that topic alone for sure. It is one of the most common diseases known to man. It is occurring more frequently in men than women, but women are also affected by this. And you know, if you're a man and you snore and you're, you know, over the age of 50, I mean, your risk is already quite high of having this. So I would encourage you, if you fit into those categories, or if you're excessively sleepy during the day, or you feel like you have poor sleep quality, even if you have insomnia, I mean, sleep apnea can cause insomnia. Those would all be reasons to, you know, seek out a board-certified sleep medicine physician to get this addressed or bring it to the attention to your primary care provider. You know, this is, it's, you know, a major cause for hypertension in this country. It's strongly associated with stroke and cardiovascular disease, diabetes. You know, obesity is a huge risk factor for it. So it's and you're right. I mean, if you have sleep apnea and even if you're getting what we would consider to be a normal amount of sleep, it's of poor quality.
Yes.
It's not restorative. If you look at people, if you look at what we call Kaplan-Meier survival curves of people with severe sleep apnea, it's scary. People die from this disease, okay? And that's really predominantly people with severe disease. So really, you know, if you're obese, if you snore, you know, even moderately loudly, if you're tired during the day, if your bed partner tells you that you stop breathing in your sleep, please go seek out care for that problem.
And another thing, just out of curiosity, so there's something else called central sleep apnea, right? That's not as a result of mechanical obstruction, but people actually hold their breath in their sleep. Are you familiar
correct
with that, right?
Yes, their brainstem doesn't tell their body to sleep.
Well,
so
I'm wondering if it's the brainstem, or I'm wondering if I would love to know what their hematocrit levels are. I would want to know what the oxygen content of their blood is. I'm wondering if the thermostat that measures oxygen or perceived of oxygen in the blood is somehow altered because of a high hematocrit.
Well, it's really more driven by carbon dioxide levels in the blood. And we have something called the apneic threshold, which when the CO2 levels in the blood drop below that, it doesn't trigger the brain to breathe when we're asleep. Oxygen also drives respiration, but it's predominantly CO2. So it can be an issue with, you know, the levels of CO2 and what's called the apneic threshold, which does change when we fall asleep.
You know, this has really been something that I've put a lot of thought into, because I just know that there are a large number of men out there, young men too. My father was 85 years old. He didn't snore. He used to puff his lips. He'd go, pff, pff. That's how that was his equivalent of snoring. But he never snored. And today, men snore. I have so many friends that whose wives complain about their snoring. Something is going on here. Something is going on. Something is at the root of this. And we need to find out what it is because it is shortening people's lives.
It is, and, you know, we have an obesity epidemic in this country, and obesity is, you know, one of the major risk factors for sleep apnea. So that's probably a big factor contributing. You know, other things like drinking alcohol before going to bed can worsen it, and also being sleep deprived before going to bed can worsen it. So those things are probably also contributing.
I tried sleeping with a mandibular repositioning device for a little while, and it worked for a short time. But then my bite changed, and then I started getting a clicking in my jaw that's literally taken months to go away. The thing that works best for me is sleeping on my side. I actually prop pillows up behind my back, and I sleep on my side, and I don't snore.
Yeah, sleep apnea can be positional. So, you know, some simple remedies like that, you know, using a body pillow to help you sleep on your side where you put your between your legs and you put your arm over it. So, you know, kind of sewing a tennis ball in the back of your pajamas so
I've
that if you try to roll on your back, you just keep going, that kind of thing.
You know, and the other thing is, and I've always wanted to do a poll of individuals who play like Winwood-type instruments to see if they snore, saxophone players, trumpet players, because there was an interesting study that I read that came out of UCLA about 4 or 5 years ago on an instrument called the dirigidoo, which is played by the Aborigines in Australia. That learning to play the dirigidoo in 2 to 4 months can completely reverse severe cases of snoring and mild cases of obstructive sleep apnea.
That's correct. Yes, I've seen that study, and it's a very interesting study that shows that I think it's called cyclic breathing. When you learn how to do that it strengthens the muscles of the throat in a manner that can improve sleep apnea. So. Who knew that it'd be the didgeridoo that would provide a different avenue for treating this?
This is a really exciting area of research, in my opinion, because there's so many opportunities to improve sleep quality. One, by lifestyle modifications, and two, by addressing these types of things that are hurting people that they don't even know about because they're sleeping when it's happening. And I would tell anyone out there, to video themselves or record yourself while you're sleeping and listen to yourself the next day. It's hard to do when you hear yourself snoring so loud and you go, my God, how the heck do I sleep and I snore so loud?
Yeah, it's insidious. I mean, it's happening while you're sleeping, so how would you know unless somebody tells you? You know, if you don't have a bed partner, recording yourself is one way. The other is just to assess, you know, your level of sleepiness during the day. If you're giving yourself an adequate opportunity to sleep and yet you still can't make it through the day, if you're dragging, if you're fatigued, if you're requiring lots of coffee to make it through the day, then that might be a clue that you're having a sleep illness.
Yeah. Listen, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. I want to plug the book again. It's called The Clinician's Guide to Sleep Disorders. If you are a professional working with people, trying to help them make progress in their lives, in their health, you really need to get this book because it'll give you the foundation of a lot of things that you need to understand to help them. Dr. Watson, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological
biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
All right, welcome back. Okay, a couple things I have to ask you to do for me, okay? I don't want to let the vaccine poll, the vaccine petition die, and it's not dying. We're just getting ready to revive it and start passing it around again. We have a lot of work in front of us to get enough signatures to be able to send it to the FDA. So those of you who are aware of it, it's on the blog, my blog as well. You can go there to sign it, pass it around to friends, pass it around a second time, pass it around a third time. Make sure that everybody you know signs it, because it can only help everybody. What we're looking for is the FDA to require vaccine advertising and marketing to carry the same openly disclosed disclaimers that the pharmaceutical drugs have right now. And you know what? This one change will affect a lot of other things, okay? Everybody has it. Well, we want this. If we can get the FDA to require this, then here's what's going to change. They're going to be advertised differently. It's going to be implied that they're not risk-free, which right now everybody thinks that, oh, well, vaccines are only good, they're not bad. More importantly, companies and organizations that mandate that you must be vaccinated to work here will rethink that approach, because they may be held liable if you get sick. Since the disclosure out there says, hey, if you take this vaccine, you could develop this neurological disease. You get a vaccine, you develop it, then, and you didn't want to, you did it because your job made you, then they would be held liable. You could sue them. They'd be culpable. So that'll stop all these organizations from going, oh, you must be vaccinated. This one little change, okay? So it's an important discussion, and it's an important thing for us to do, and that is to get this out to people and get them to sign our petition, number one. Number two, if you're not already using the Superhuman
Radio Network iPhone and Android app. Please download it. It'll allow you to manage the podcast. The second I update the RSS feed, it's available. And now you don't need Wi-Fi. You can connect through your cell phone. Before, some people were like, hey, you know, I got to be by Wi-Fi to listen to the podcast. You don't have to anymore. You can stream the podcast from anywhere now. So we got that fixed. Also, it allows you to listen to the live channel. Like right now, we have a lot of people listening to the live channel because of the app. It makes it convenient. You press play and you sit and you listen when you can. Plus, there's links to the website, and there will be some fun things coming out. If you have the app, you'll be eligible for certain things. We're going to be giving away some free tickets to the Arnold starting next week, so you're going to want to listen for that. And then lastly, I'm asking out everyone out there, if this show has affected you, positive or negative, I don't care. If this show has affected you, if it's changed your life in any way, positive or negative, I want you to produce a little 10-second, 20-second, 30-second video. Don't worry about production quality. I don't care where it is. People take selfies in their bathroom, and now all of a sudden everybody's like, well, I'm going to wait to make this. I want to. Don't do that. Just take a candid selfie, a video, 10, 20, 30 seconds. Just tell me how the show has affected you. That's all I want. Because we have a new website being deployed, and we're going to make a montage video. So everybody's video will be used, good or bad. I don't care. If you say the show sucks and I hate the commercials, we're going to put that in there. Okay? Now somebody's going to go out and do that specifically. Watch. But anyway, there's a place on the right-hand side of the website, down on the far right column, down to the middle of the page, where you can upload the file. Help a brother out. Make a video and tell me how the show has affected you so that you end up in our video montage. Please, I'm asking you. Those are the three things I'm asking you to do right now. Okay. It's been a great show. We got a great show planned tomorrow, so tune in then. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. You're listening.